big man. Treat you like you're a little man.
Attendance for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
So we are here again, another day, another Monday, here on Off the Ropes. Ion unfortunately could not be with us tonight. His stomach acting back up. Ended up in the hospital again. So hopefully he, he gets better soon. Hopefully he's feeling better. And I missed actually the beginning of Raw because I had my men's basketball league. So I'm still going through it, watching it. But right now we do have the man. You can check him out at Views from the 718, as well as the Black Buddha page. Jason Coordinator is with us, the co-host, the original co-host of the show. And right now I'm looking at this, and Seth Rollins just called out the Demon King. Now, you've been an NXT guy for a while, Jason. You've known more about this other side of Finn Balor for a while. Finn Balor came out. We all saw him make his debut. Looks like a normal dude. Little black, black spandex banana hammock, the boots. Regular guy, leather jacket, whatever. Now you get this side of Finn Balor. What exactly is this that I'm looking at right now?
This was supposed to be like his alter ego, the demon side, which is something I'm surprised they pulled the trigger on now. I thought it'd been better for him to come out with this on SummerSlam, but they're going with it. So this is pretty much his alter ego, his Undertaker side, where he gets more extreme and whatnot. We have the little face paint and stuff like that. Think Papa Shango mixed with Undertaker mixed with Jeff Hardy.
So when he was successful in NXT winning titles, was it as this persona or as himself or as both?
Pretty much both, but mostly as a demon.
Okay. So yeah, I would have thought, like you said, he would have came out normally tonight and then showed up with this entrance at SummerSlam. I think would have freaked him out. But I think what happened is a lot of people were probably asking, because, a lot of people who might not be as up to date as you are with NXT.
I've
seen photos of this guy. Why does he look different? They saw him and they were like, wait a minute, that's not the guy. That's not the thing. Because every time they show you a promotional photo of Finn Balor, he's always got this outfit on. So people are like, wait a minute, that's not Finn Balor. So maybe that's what.
And I'm also noticing with the crowd reaction, because on NXT, when he does that whole, he raises both hands up, everybody in the NXT crowd follows him. And slowly but surely, the Raw crowd is starting to catch on. You're not really seeing it too much, but within a couple of months, you'll start seeing it really catch on, like the guest movement.
Well, I do see it. I do see the hands going up when he's doing this stuff. Very animated. Very slow entrance. Very Undertaker-esque entrance in terms of, how slow Undertaker used to walk to the ring and all that stuff. It's the same, similar kind of thing. Very, very. I like this personality, though. I like these weird, chaotic sort of characters.
This is also why I really think he's going to win this Universal title at SummerSlam. I feel like they're all in on this character, and why not do something fresh and different? Why not give it to a rookie, the ultimate prize, allegedly the ultimate prize, the Universal title. I still think it's the other title, but nevertheless.
So look at him. Did the Demon King have to necessarily, did it have to be summoned? Like, did he have to be, like, pushed to get to this point? Or, like, why exactly does he all of a sudden now show up this way? You know what I'm saying? Like, what prompts this character to come out?
It's probably, the angle they're probably going for is to push him to this way, but on NXT, you know, when he had a big time match, he always came as a demon. So this is a little different here.
Well, this is a big time match, and obviously the biggest match of his career, going up against, you know, the top guy in the business at one of the biggest pay per views. So it is big. I think it's interesting, very detailed face paint. Very detailed. You can actually see the teeth, every intricacy, every part of the face paint is very good. I'm assuming most of it is melted off by the time the match is over, but you know, just like Sting did. So let's take a look at this here, because they can do one of two things. They can have Rollins lose tonight. Because usually whenever they have somebody lose on the Raw before, they usually win at the pay-per-view. But who knows? Who the hell really knows? I mean,
they're gonna have a great match. They're definitely gonna have a good match.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Now, has he lost as this persona, or is he undefeated as a demon?
Well, coming in here, he's undefeated, but he's lost in NXT before.
Yeah, but not as this character, right?
Oh, no, he lost to the NXT character to Samoa Joe, who's currently the NXT champion.
Oh, okay. Huh.
I think Vince sees dollar signs with the Demon, especially now that Undertaker's on the decline. What it's all about.
As he heads to SummerSlam and kicks tonight and kicks Sunday and Brooklyn, only on the WWE Network, Rollins versus Fowler for the newly created WWE. Well, my main thing here is they're really pushing Rollins to look, you know, afraid of Fowler. So, you know, I don't exactly know what they're going to do, because to take it off of Rollins and put it on Taylor shows they truly are going to a new era, truly are pushing the youth movement, truly are, you know, looking to go in a different direction. But if they have Rollins winning again, they're going to be like, all right, well, it was a good run, good push, but, you know, we're picking up where we left off. So I don't know what exactly creative has in mind, but Part of me could see logic if either one wins.
I could see either one winning. I could see either one winning the title. I think this feud is going to carry on for a while. I think Roman Reigns is going to be in a feud with Rusev for quite a while as well. So it's wide open over on Raw, the whole title picture after SummerSlam. So I could see them feuding for a while.
Now, do you like the Rusev and Reigns rivalry?
I like it. I would like it better if it wasn't for the belt, because I really feel like it's a demotion for Roman Reigns.
I mean, it is. They still want to put gold on him, and they don't have the Intercontinental title on the show anymore. So this is, you know, technically the second highest single title on the show. So, I mean, you know, the fact that they took him out of the world title picture, but they're still going to put gold on him, I think, said something. But, of course, they had Cena wear it for a while, you know. But, now, this was interesting last week, and then today, obviously, you saw Rusev attacking in the back, you know, which was interesting to me. But, you know, I don't know. I don't quite know where they're going to go here. Again, this is the beginning of Raw recap, roughly by Cage Combat, as well as Logo Warehouse. Check them out, Boston Spot, New York. Our shirts are going to be in this week, which is great.
Nice.
You know, get them shipped down there, get the next order in. Speaking of T-shirts, I saw your Billionaire Bullet Club T-shirt you were going to be wearing.
Yeah, I'm going with, you know, I'm sticking to my prediction. I think Finn's going to turn bad. I think New Day is going to lose the belt to the club, and we're going to get the reincarnation of the Bullet Club, or they're going to call them the Balor Club. But either way, I feel a heel night coming down at SummerSlam, so I'm going to rock my little T-shirt, and I'm going to bother some kids in the audience. As I can, you know, repeatedly predict, I think, you know, we're going to see a heel ending towards SummerSlam.
Now, if Rollins loses, the club could interfere, and Baylor could win the belt, and they could do their little Wolfpack kiss thing that they do with their hands there at the end, and that's how they could end the show, with Baylor holding the belt as the Demon King or whatever personality he chooses. And they're doing their little hand thing in the middle of the ring to end the show. That might be kind of cool. You know, or I mean, we need another DX-ish type of stable. You know, the dominant stable. I mean, I think the New Day, yeah, you know, they're great, they're talented, but New Day's getting a little sour. At least to me, anyway. And so to have another dominant stable, especially a heel stable, I think would be huge.
I think it might even go a little deeper than that. I think AJ Styles is going to win clean against John Cena. And since, it's, you know, both brands are going to be in attendance, we can see, like, all four of them come out together. That'll be awesome. We had, like, two little fractions on separate shows trying to run, you know, run dominance over both shows. I could see something like that happen.
They could for sure. I mean, the Wyatts, you have the Wyatt family, or what's left of them on SmackDown. You know, obviously I know Bray is pretty much by himself right now, while Harper's out with injury, and then obviously Rollins never really been that great. But I don't know. I like stables. I like the idea of heel stables. I mean, despite the booze, despite the fact that I would do the shit out of them and I saw them live, I love the corporation. I love the corporate ministry. You know, I mean, I love the McMahon Helmsley machine. I mean, they were just great heel stables that really made you hate them. And, you know, the club, to me, hasn't done anything to make me be like, but they've showed me that they have that capability. So, you know, who knows? I wish I was more in tune with NXT like you are, so I know a little bit more about them to start, but unfortunately I'm not. So, you know, I take your word for it that they were really good in NXT.
And speaking of NXT, you know, TakeOver is also happening Saturday, and they got a couple of nice little niche matches going on. But from what I'm hearing that Samoa Joe and Nakamura, they can compete for the NXT title, but I'm hearing they both could be coming to the main rosters real soon.
I like it. I think Samoa Joe was one of the top, if not the top guy in TNA for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now all of a sudden he's in the new age version of the OVW. I don't really understand why they're holding him down, other than maybe to train some younger talent. But I would love to see Samoa Joe come back up. Here's my favorite. Speaking of the club, here they are now coming out. And Gallows and Anderson. Now they are strange with this whole doctor persona that they're doing now.
I'm loving the doctor's angle. I'm loving the angle because it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of Attitude Era-ish, but it's the best you can do with this whole PG setting.
Now, what exactly is in the jar? Oh, Big E. Oh, that's his ball. That's his ball. I see. And that's the one because when they ran him into the post there or whatever. Okay. Remember that. Now, you think we see a Big E return at some point?
It looks like Big E is going to be out for SummerSlam, and if it's just Kofi and Xavier, there's no way they're keeping the title.
Now, is Big E actually hurt? Or?
That I don't know. That I have not really heard too much of.
Huh. Now, that obviously, you know, they could have been a little more creative, but I mean, because that's obviously an egg when you look at it, but, you know, now, is this even a fair match? I mean, you got 50-year-old Goldust, and, you know, R-Truth is the job here entire career. I don't know. But wasn't he, K-Quick or something like that back in the Attitude Era? Quick, or K-Wick,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was also. Now, You know what I was watching the other day? You know what kind of stable I would love to have back? It'd be something like the Clips. And what the club does with their fingers kind of reminds me a little bit of the Clips. I mean, this isn't even very much. I don't know why they're giving Gallison and Anderson.
You know, speaking of Clips, you know, somebody asked me the other day, what do I think of the history of NWO and the Generation X? If you really break it down, the Clips consist of former NWO members who went to WCW and pretty much formed NWO. So, in the essence, the Clips pretty much birthed DX and NWO.
It did. It really did. And, you know, I think that those two tables, even though DX spent more time spent tables than they did, so, they were always a heel group. Don't get me wrong, they were the line of Triple H, that they were a heel group, but I'm just talking about them to get you by the side. They killed a lot of times when they were on blue, but they were both instrumental. They were both the top factions at the time. I mean, NWO started first, 1996. So NWO came along first, but DX was definitely. I mean, when you think of tag team wrestling, and you're anywhere over the age of 25, you're probably thinking DX. You're a little older than that, maybe Legion of Doom. But if you're around our age, you're definitely thinking DX, and they really have become, they were the originators of all the shenanigans. They were the originators of all the, making fun of people. I remember when they had the beef with the corporation, and they came out and imitated all the corporation members and all that, but that was kind of fun. So they were the originators of sort of comedy.
They were far better with the cutting promos than NWO, sorry.
Yeah, well, NWO was more in ring. NWO was just so dominant in the ring. But it depends. I liked NWO promos, though, because obviously I love them Hogan Street. But they were more kind of like, they were the bad guys, but they were like your prototypical bad guys, whereas DX was more kind of funny. Like even when they were being healed, like couldn't help but giggle. So they were certainly interesting. New Day kind of reminds me a little bit of DX in terms of some of the, the funny shit that they say and
with their
energy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it kind of reminds me a little bit of them. But now, if this was Attitude Era, you'd see like, he put the trumpet in a particular spot, like put it up his ass or something. If this was Attitude, oh, wait a minute, I thought you were going to lie on this. Nah, that'll probably be spot. Yep, told you. They're not going to lie on that. So now in anywhere from 97 to 2004, they would allow that to have happened, and I think that they could have allowed that to happen, but I guess not. So we'll see.
A couple of years ago, they would allow that. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that was a couple of SummerSlam moments, a couple of SummerSlam predictions. What about this whole Endomoid and Jericho? I mean, I don't know if I'm feeling this rivalry. It really doesn't do much for me. They really started it.
I don't think it's going to last past SummerSlam. I just think it's a one-off thing. They'll probably lose to Enzo and Cass, and I could see Owens turning on Jericho.
Yeah, because they started this 2 weeks ago. Usually they take more time building these storylines.
Right.
So, I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen here, but that's a match that I'm like, whatever on. Now, Charlotte and the Boss, that's going to be a good match. I'm excited to see the Divas match. This is a joint pay-per-view, however. Now, we're not going to have very many of those, but this is going to be a joint pay-per-view, so we got to do a little bit of SmackDown predictions as well. Does Ambrose keep the belt?
I think Sasha keeps the belt. It would have been better if she would have won the belt at SummerSlam, especially with the history of last year with her and Bayley pretty much stealing the weekend at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn last year. It would have made more sense, but I don't see Charlotte getting it back right away. I can see her getting it back later on in the fall.
How about Dean Ambrose keeping the belt over Ziggler?
My gut feeling is Dean wins and Ziggler turns heel after.
I can see it. And if Finn Balor does decide to win, you can't have two heel champions. You can. You know, what I think would be kind of cool is if the general managers for both of these shows did what they did in 2002 with McMahon and Flair when they did a split. And that was compete to have a better show. And I'm talking all the way down to the announce team. You know, if Raw could just trash SmackDown, SmackDown trash Raw, and these two guys compete back and forth, they're able to steal talent, trade talent, do whatever, you know, and I think that would really sort of boost the brand a bit to have these two sort of go at each other. I know they're competing for ratings and competing to have a better show in that regard, but if they could sort of kayfabe a rivalry between the two shows to see who's better, I think that would be interesting for the viewers too. Have, you know, SmackDown and Raw.
It's funny you say that because I think I don't know if you probably missed earlier where Cesaro and Sheamus, they was announced that they're gonna have a best of seven series.
Yep.
And it's gonna start at SummerSlam. I could easily see a Daniel Bryan or Shane be like, hey, you know, the loser, one, you know, the loser got to come to SmackDown kind of stipulation added in later on.
But why would they want the loser, not the win?
That's true. That's true too. But SmackDown needs help. The talent's so thin. This is more why I'm feeling like Ziggler needs to turn heel.
I think we both agreed that SmackDown's had the better show the last 2 weeks since the brand split.
True. That's true.
But what is that exactly?
That could be more part of it being just 2 hours, so you have to put everything in, you know, you got to get everything together.
Yeah, I can see it.
Not necessarily too, because they have better, you know, they have the Cena, they have the Ortons, they have the Wyatts, they have a lot of guys who could talk and pretty much build a storyline. I'm not really seeing too much of that on Raw. It seems like they're putting everybody together to try to do that.
I can see it, but you know what I would love to see? And they have plenty of time to work the storyline. I would love to see, you know, Survivor Series be like Team Raw versus Team SmackDown.
That would be best for business.
And they've done it before. Remember when they had, you know, the red shirt versus the blue shirt, Battle Royal, the whole thing? Didn't really work back then, because I don't think they marketed it properly, and I think they kind of went at it about the wrong way. But I think right now they could definitely, especially with Brock Lesnar and Orton anchoring SmackDown, they've already, you know, sort of impeded on each other's shows. If they could now have, you know, different run-ins, if they could have SmackDown being the underdog, SmackDown being the two-hour show, the newer show, more rookies on it. They SmackDown sort of take a, you know, alliance sort of feel and sort of invade Raw, and Raw has to fight back, and then it ends up boiling down to Survivor Series between the two. I'm not going to say winner take all, because obviously, you know, I want both shows to continue, but if, you know, if Raw wins, you know, then SmackDown has to just, you know, stay on SmackDown.
And that could really work, because think about it. You have enough women to have both. You have a women's match. You have the tag team. You could have even a tag team Raw versus SmackDown with those participants. And you still have plenty of single wrestlers to do it. I could see them doing that and probably still have the two world title matches. That would make sense. And you can fill up the card.
Yeah. And, you know, I could see, you know, the when I want to say winner take all, I don't mean like one show would have to go. But I mean, you know, SmackDown would have to stay on SmackDown, and they would sort of be shamed a little bit, like, ah, you know, Raw's still the flagship, screw you. Or if Raw lost, then, you know, Shane gets Raw or something, or Daniel Bryan plays Mick Foley, something like that, you know, and it could be, or, you know, Stephanie then runs both shows of Raw wins, whatever it may be, whatever the stakes are that they want to put on it, I think would be
would be kind of cool. I would love to see, I mean, it's not going to happen. I don't think it, you know, unlike Ali Khan, who seems to think that, you know, the WWE creative gives two shits what we think or say, I don't think that they are, you know, listening to this and, you know, going to do that. But I would love to see it. I think we both agree with you guys' business, but, you know, I just don't know at this point if they're going to do it or not. But again, who the hell knows? Looking at some of the other SummerSlam card matches, the ones that people actually care about anyway, what about the Orton-Lesnar match? That's going to be interesting because they're pumping Brock as this unstoppable monster. They always have. And, you know, Paul Heyman comes out with the promo and, you know, the whole thing. But yet Randy Orton has been dominant in return, and they've really been boosting him since he came back. I don't know. Who are you taking in that match?
My gut feeling is Orton's going to beat him. I don't know why I feel this way. I think he's going to get an RKO out of nowhere, a few RKOs, and he's going to win the match. I don't know why I'm thinking that. I'm just going with that. It could be the WWE's way of punishing Brock for what happened over at UFC.
But would Brock agree? I mean, he does have to agree to that, okay? Because, I mean, I know essentially we don't have to agree to that. I mean, they basically have to do what they're told to do, but I mean, there's stuff you read all the time that, you know, there's guys that, you know, Stone Cold and guys that Hulk Hogan and guys that Shawn Michaels refused to lose to, you know, and there have been matches like, I mean, Stone Cold walked out because they had him jobbing out to Brock Lesnar, and this was back in 03, end of 02, early 03.
I remember that, yeah.
Just began, and he was just beginning. And Austin was like, no, I'm the one who made this company what it is. Now this guy's been here for 2 months and want me of all people to lose to him? Screw you. And he walked out. So I don't know what they would do in that regard, but you know, I don't see. Well,
it all depends on what they want to do with Brock, because I feel like he hasn't been in the title picture in over a year. I'm looking at him the same way I'm looking at Cena. Like, they're super part-timers now. Do you really want, you know, does he really need a victory over Randy Orton?
Does he need it? No, I guess in the long run he'll be okay. But if you want to keep up the whole Suplex City and the whole Beast Incarnate and the whole, you know, East League Console of Peace thing, but to lose to a guy that's 150 pounds lighter than you it doesn't look good. I mean, they're pumping Brock to be, yeah, he's part-time, he's supposed to be this unstoppable monster. And if Randy Orton is the one who's able to take him out, you know, I don't know. To me, I think it does a disservice to do that because I was taking beat Norton on several occasions. I believe one of them even was at WrestleMania. So, yeah, it's just like, okay, you know, why are you going to have Lesnar be the one to ruin the streak?
Right.
And Lesnar throw around everybody, even the face of this company for the last decade, John Cena, okay, and then move to a guy like Orton who's been out for 9 months. So, you know, I just, Orton's great, don't get me wrong, Orton's instrumental, he's been, you know, one of the face heels of the company, he's been one of the top guys, I just don't see Orton being relevant enough anymore to take out a guy that's being pumped the way Lesnar is.
It should still be a phenomenal match, though. It should still be a great match.
Yeah, and hey, I could be wrong. You could be right. I mean, he could hit a couple RKOs and take him out. I mean, who the hell knows? I don't think anybody expected Undertaker to lose to Brock, and he did. And I don't think really too many people were expecting, I don't think too many people were expecting Brock to lose this match, you know. So, now, who the hell knows? I know what's going to happen here. Charlotte is setting up Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is going to come into the ring, and she's going to get attacked by Dana Brooke. Oh, what are those pants that Sasha has on, though?
Oh,
what
nice. Speaking of Bay, you know, since I know which hotel that the wrestlers are going to be at, but I'm going to do my best to get as many pictures with as many WWE talent as possible, but the number one person I'm going after is Sasha.
Now I smell this coming from a mile away. I smell this coming. Yeah, I would do it. I mean,
He's so small, though, you can tower over without his bank, but... Yeah, no, try to get as many interviews as possible, for sure.
That's the plan.
I'm trying to get as much, you know, interviews and whatever, pictures, whatever I can this weekend.
Hand out business cards, what you gotta do? So,
you know, it would be very flair of the WWE to make Sasha lose at SummerSlam, considering, you know, how many times Ric Flair held the title.
So you think they want to do that same thing with Charlotte?
They could.
Now, Charlotte is starting her career, though, on the main roster, a lot older than Flair did. I mean, Charlotte's already 30, almost 31.
That's true.
So, you know, whereas Sasha Banks is, what, 24? So, I mean, she's got a long time left. But, you know, I actually, honestly, though, this whole thing, I like traditional rivalry, and I like that they've been, you know, really pushing these two and really getting the heat between these two. But I kind of like what they're doing with the Divas on SmackDown, too.
Yeah.
With all that everything and all that. I kind of like that.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but, you know, Carmella, who won on her debut on SmackDown, she was actually Enzo and Cass's manager in NXT.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. But you had all three of them talk smack and all that back in this time last year on NXT.
Now, any word on when they're going to bring up Bayley?
Bayley, they're probably going to bring her up maybe September, maybe that pay-per-view. Because, you know, they still got a lot of things to do before they even get to Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm. Now,
just think about that. Before we get to Survivor Series, we're going to have four more pay-per-views. Two from each show.
Oh, they're done with the split ones until Survivor Series?
Yeah, they're going to split two in September and two in October.
Okay. Now, there's a lot more storyline. I feel like the storylines aren't pushed as much. I feel like there are certain matches that you're excited in because of the build up, but I feel like, you know, in the golden age from 97 to 04 or 03, I feel like you watched the pay per view because there was just so much heat on the pay per view. I mean, you were going into that pay per view with so much emotion. And, you know, the Stone Cold Undertaker matches and the Rock Triple H matches and, you know, Mick Foley, when Mick Foley was retired at No Way Out in 2000.
Right.
You know, the whole build-up, the 2-3-4 month build-up they did before the Hell in a Cell match. There was just so much emotion behind it. Now, maybe Jarr helped a little bit with that. But there was just so much emotion between them. Now I feel like, you know, they'll have these guys back on another 2 weeks before the review and we'll go in and face each other. And I don't feel like a lot of matches make sense. I don't feel like a lot of the rivalries make sense. There hasn't been enough sort of storyline development. I like the Rusev Reigns thing. I think that's going to be a sort of a heated match. But I don't necessarily feel like a lot of the storylines have been pushed the way that they could be, or a lot of guys have enough heat at the moment. So, why don't you give us the rundown real quick? Obviously, you live in Brooklyn. You're right down the street from the Barclays Center. Why don't you give us the rundown of all the things, the activities that are going on in Brooklyn this week?
Oh man, where to start? I mean, you got they have a concert on Thursday night. They have a concert on Thursday night, which I'm pretty sure they're gonna probably show highlights Friday and Sunday. It's like a whole SummerSlam welcome concert with Flo Rida, Jason Derulo, a couple other guys, and they expect to have a lot of like WWE superstars cutting promos for their SummerSlam matches. So that should be cool on Thursday. Then they have a lot of meet and greets at the Barclays from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. I'm going to try to catch a couple of them, but I really want to catch Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Finn Balor. So those are the three I'm really looking to try to catch. Try to catch something with them.
There's a couple of
things I want to get in. the quarterback.
The assignment is now post-Jackson, so...
They're also going on... Peter Rosenberg, he's having a wrestling wrap-up. Pretty much, that's where I got the shirt from. I got the shirt from Peter Rosenberg's people, and they're going to host a shindig chat on Friday night with the special guest going to be Nick Foley's daughter. You know, their show starts right after SummerSlam, so that should be cool. So I'm looking forward to meeting her. And then you got NXT on Saturday and SummerSlam on Sunday, so there'll be a lot going on in Brooklyn.
Well, I don't have somebody who looks like a caveman, somebody who's just as hideously attractive as Nick Foley to lose a daughter like that.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that on Friday. I get to meet her and, you know, shoot the breeze with Peter Rosenberg. It should be a good time, so I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Is she
and I can't forget, yeah, next Monday, I'm going to be at Raw.
Oh, that's it. Now, where are they doing the Raw after SummerSlam?
They're doing it back in Barclays. They usually, like, they're going to do all three nights back-to-back.
Now, where are they tonight?
Tonight,
because usually they go before a pay-per-view. They usually go relatively close to the end of the time.
So that means they're pretty much the Raw brand is pretty much flying out of there. Probably gonna hit the hotel by Thursday.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to know which hotel they're staying at, feel free to comment or hit me up on Twitter and I'll let you know.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at this here. Here we go. I'm looking at some news and notes that I have on here. And Braun Strowman, this whole local talent thing is getting to me. Tonight's an hour and a half show, by the way. You can do without the intercom. So we've got about 53 minutes remaining in the broadcast. But this Braun Strowman thing, they should put him up against somebody competitive. Because, I mean, he's so big. He can throw around pretty much anybody. The fact that he's facing this local talent, literal no-names. I mean, God, I'm not expecting guys from NXT. I mean, these are just guys that they hired off the street, step in the ring. I don't get it. Where are they going with the Braun Strowman storyline? I don't get it.
Earlier tonight, Roman Reigns got a taste of why you do not mess with the Russian princess. So now, all of you, get on your feet.
So I don't know if Jason is still with us or not, or possibly my audio has cut out, but we are here.
Yeah, has anybody wore the wedding dress longer than Lana?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like every time I see her lately, she's in a wedding dress. But I'm sorry, my phone was cut in and out. But back to Braun Strowman. I see Heath Slater beating Braun Strowman and getting a contract on Raw.
Really?
I don't know.
Wow.
Did you see earlier when Brock came out and he begged him for a match and
tonight?
Yeah,
no,
earlier tonight, you know.
I'm a men's league basketball game. I didn't turn it on until about 9:30.
All right, so right when Brock was cutting his promo, you know, for a SummerSlam, he came out and said, you know, he could get a contract on Raw if he beats Brock Lesnar. So Brock and Paul Heyman pretty much laughed him off, and then Keith came out there screaming, was like, hey, I got to do this to my kids. I know I'm going to get an ass kick, but I'm still going to do it. I ain't afraid of you, blah, blah, blah. So then Brock grabbed the mic, and Brock was like, listen, you're pissing me off. You either got two options. You either get out the ring or stay and catch his ass beating. And he stayed and caught the ass beating. So it was a hell of a promo by Heath Slater. But they got to do something. They got to do something with Braun Strowman. He can't be keep wrestling nobodies every week.
But could they have him lose to a guy who has been pretty much a joke for 90% of his career?
Yeah.
I can see it. I mean, hell, Zack Ryder is, you know, getting title shots and thinks, well, not just something that he's slated, but, and I don't know. I don't know. I think that would really boost Heath Slater. That would give Heath Slater a boost that I don't think he's ready for yet. So, Robin, this match tonight's not the belt, right? So we're waiting for...
No, it's a regular one-on-one match. But, you know, Rusev's fighting for his honor and his wife.
Now, these guys have very similar fighting style.
Yeah, they do. I think Rusev's going to keep the belt. I think he's going to keep the belt at SummerSlam. I think that feud's going to extend. Maybe he might retain it by disqualification or something, but I don't see Roman winning food or even walking out of there winning the belt. I don't see it.
You don't see Roman walking out with the belt? Or you don't see
Rusev? Yeah, I don't see Roman walking out with the belt. I can see Rusev winning by, like, you know, losing by, like, disqualification or some flukish.
Yeah, I can see it.
He's a good United States champion. He doesn't get enough credit for that. I enjoy both his title reigns.
Rusev's a hell of a fighter. I mean, he's actually a very good talent. I just wish he was holding a different belt besides the U.S. title. But part of me does like the chaos of, you know, with everything going on in the world right now, pro-Russia supporter holding the U.S. title. Part of me gives me a little bit of a tingle there too. So I feel like this is going to be an interesting match as well. This is one that normally I don't really care about a Roman Reigns match, but this is one I think I'm going to be interested in. Now, I was going to go to SummerSlam, but I'm going to be at a bunch of, one, it's my birthday that day, the August 21st. So that was what was going to be awesome about it. But I'm getting another awesome present. I'm going to be, as I mentioned to you off the air, I'm going to be in North Carolina.
I must say, if you had to be anywhere else in the world other than Brooklyn, I would say it better be North Carolina.
It better be. For those of you who know what I'm talking about or have seen what I'm talking about, then obviously you'll know where I'm going with this. I just thought it was funny. I actually screenshotted it. I asked Jason off the air, sent a photo. What I'm going to do right now? I'm going to send you are you in front of a computer?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to send you over a photo right now that was sent to me the other day because she wanted me to come down like last weekend. I was like, I got stuff going on. I got work. And she goes, please? And I'm like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And then she sends me the photo I just sent you saying, maybe this will make you want to come down. So I sent it. I just sent it to you. And part of me was tempted to just put an auto playlist on and just leave. Like, I was like, hey, I'm in the middle of a packed ass nightclub. I got a full dance floor.
You're going down this weekend, so that's definitely that's for business.
Hopefully. I mean, she's busy with basketball and she's hitting me with, they got to do community service and read to young children and go to visit nursing homes and do all that stuff because North Carolina, they go back to school earlier. She started classes today and everything. They're getting right into it in the heart of basketball season here. And so she might be a little busy. It may be pushed to the next weekend, which would kind of piss me off when I miss out on going to SummerSlam.
Driving
either way,
you driving or flying?
Well, I would have to drive this time because flights now are like $400 to get 4 days in advance. Part of me, I just thought it was funny. And for those of you, I posted a little bit about it on OTN. You can check it out on my Food for Thought page. People who I know who are listening who have posted. I thought it was kind of funny because I was asking Jason off the air in the photo that I just sent him, and maybe he'll back up the testimony with the photo that I just sent over to him. But I was like, hey, there's a bit of an age difference. Still in college, whatever. I said, but it's not like she's going to school in Jersey or going to school in Manhattan or Pennsylvania or wherever. It's North freaking Carolina. Like, that's not exactly close to upstate New York. I was like, is it worth it to put in this effort? And he just goes, dude, you could get your ass to North Carolina like ASAP or some shit. And he said something.
funny. So I was like, huh, okay. I mean, with the photo I just sent you, right, I shouldn't pass that up. If you want me to go there once a month or twice a month or however long, if I can find cheap enough flights, I should make the trip.
I think you should definitely go on Amir. Take the drive, have that ride-along experience, have that Van Wilder experience.
Yeah.
You know, reminisce about college life a little bit, and have a good weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most of the time what I'm going to do is fly, because I work at CJ every other Tuesday, and then every Monday through Saturday. So for me to drive, I would have to leave super early in the morning, and it's a 10-hour drive, and you got to deal with D.C. traffic, and you got to deal with all that. Flying is an hour and a half. So if I fly down an hour and a half, rent a car, you know, I could leave at 5 and still get back by 9 and be able to DJ and do my whole thing. So it just maximizes time spent. So I might end up doing that. But yeah, so it's just funny because, you know, she's texting me now and doing the whole thing. And she was actually here when we were doing the show last week. She was looking on the couch and everything because that was right before she left. And it was just kind of funny because I don't usually do this. I don't usually get involved in these kind of conflicts. But again, if you knew the person, if you knew her outside of just looks or outside of whatever, you know, there's a lot of positives there too from a standpoint. So yeah, I'm unfortunately going to be passing out. I've been to enough WWE events where, you know, it's not like it's my first time and I'm really missing out. I've been to enough events where I can, you know, I can afford to miss one. But, you know, it's just, I'm like, oh, all right, I'm weighing my options here. SummerSlam.
Hey, listen, no regrets. Hey, no regrets. High risk, high reward. You take your butt down to North Carolina, you make the best weekend.
Oh, I know, right?
We already know SummerSlam next year is going to be at Barclays again, so hey.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
So then I can go next year. Yeah, good. I don't want another sorry Joe, and Joe, you know, he's going to be back with us on Sports Roundup tomorrow, and his father died, so he took the week off last week, but he's going to be back with us. Sorry Joe for bringing this back up, but I'm in a Christian Leighton situation going on.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so especially, I mean, her school's small enough, it's not like she goes to Duke or UNC or Wake Forest, one of those big ones. It's a small private school, you know, with only like 1,000 students, 600 students, so there's not a huge crop to choose from. But yeah, I'm usually pretty reserved about this stuff, not usually the wildness that I partake in, but I mean, there's certain things you just don't, you know, let go if you don't have to. So, but anyways, back on topic here, you know, taking you through the end of Raw, as we always do, it's about 10:48, so I'm assuming this is the main event. I don't know if they can squeeze one more match in or what they have planned, but assuming it's the main event match. What are your favorite SummerSlam matches of all time? Are there any that stick out to you specifically?
There's two matches. When I think of SummerSlam, I think of about two matches. One was, you probably was a little too young to remember this, but it was Bret Hart and Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, for the Intercontinental title at Wembley in England. The first and only time the Intercontinental Championship was the main event of a pay-per-view. That was a good match. And I also think about Shawn Michaels' return. After all those years, him and Triple H had that epic match.
Didn't Shawn Michaels win the world title for the first time ever over Bret Hart at SummerSlam?
No, that was Survivor Series. That was Survivor Series.
Survivor Series.
No, I'm sorry. That was WrestleMania. WrestleMania. That was
WrestleMania. I saw they were running like videos of it all week, and I thought maybe it was at SummerSlam. So, okay.
Shawn Michaels won at the first Elimination Chamber match at SummerSlam. That was, I think, 2003.
Okay.
Right. 2004.
Okay, yep.
Randy Orton. Yeah, 2003. That happened.
No. I think it was 02. I believe. No, the first ever Elimination Chamber was not SummerSlam. I think the first ever one was No Mercy. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah, he did. He had some
my Shawn Michaels moment, quote unquote, my Shawn Michaels moment at SummerSlam was, I believe it was 2005 against Hulk Hogan. And the Hogan Michaels match was a 40-minute match. Hogan ended up hitting the leg drop at the end and getting the win. That was a pretty epic match. Those two, despite differences in style, had pretty good chemistry in the ring. Of course, Hogan had good chemistry with anybody, but you know, I thought that was pretty pretty awesome match. You know, Hogan all bloodied up and the whole thing. It was interesting.
This is a 3-piece
blend
plus nacho cheese
sauce. I was upset that Hogan won that match. I was very upset that Hogan won that match. I felt Shawn deserved to get the win over Hogan, just like the Rock deserved to get the win over Hogan at that WrestleMania. They finally had that first match.
Another one I'm talking about that I like, I kind of just I'm dating myself here. You know, talking about old school stuff and showing his age. I'm dating myself here. But one of my favorites, of course, as you may or may not have predicted, has to do with Edge. Except it wasn't an Edge win. It was an Edge loss. It was a Hell in a Cell against The Undertaker at SummerSlam.
I remember that.
Yep, and Undertaker chokeslammed him through the ring and then set it on fire. The hole on fire. That was pretty, pretty awesome. I really, really enjoyed that. It was a hell of a match. I think there wasn't too many people who pushed Undertaker in a steel cage or in a Hell in a Cell the way that Edge did. I mean, I think Lesnar did. A lot of people want to say Mick Foley did, but, I mean, come on, let's face it. That 98 King of the Ring match was pretty one-sided. I think everyone remembers it because of the beating Foley took. But it was pretty one-sided. Edge pushed him. There was a couple times Edge almost won. I think when Undertaker was his big evil persona in 03, Lesnar really pushed him on the Hell in a Cell. But other than that, you know, there's not too many Hell in a Cell matches where Taker got pushed around, and Edge was one of the ones to do it. So
I'm looking far down the road.
Speaking of SummerSlam, I don't remember, but it was SummerSlam where Stone Cold almost got his neck broken against Owen Hart.
Yeah, that was SummerSlam as well. That was an interesting SummerSlam match. There was another one, I believe it was 03 SummerSlam match. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, the whole when in 03 when they did the whole unmasking of Kane, when Kane went on the rampage, and you know, Tombstone Linda and the whole
RVD
was creating havoc. It's RVD.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was pretty. That was RVD. Because I'm trying to remember Shane McMahon climbed up to the top of the Titantron there and jumped down and Kane moved. And Shane went through it. I don't know. That was Bad Blood. That's what that was. That was the Raw only Bad Blood. And then RVD versus him as well. So, you know, I kind of liked that Kane. I liked the whole Kane that had to come out with the chains and the whole thing. That was a chaotic character. I really, really enjoyed that. But, you know, we're not going to get characters like that anymore because you can't get characters anymore. With their current, I guess, moral belief system doesn't allow them to do that. So, you know, that's one thing. Secondly, there's Mick Foley. So, Jesus, how old is Mick Foley? She in her 20s?
I'm still looking at Foley's daughter, and I'm like, how did he produce that?
I don't know. I'm definitely going to Google her. I'm going to Google her age. But, you know, I don't know.
23, 24.
Now, does she wrestle?
Well, that's the whole thing. She's learning how to wrestle. She wants to be a wrestler.
Okay. Well, she's got good training. You know, she's in good company with Mick Foley. Even though in the ring, Foley was really kind of bland and clean. You know, was known for his hardcore stuff, not necessarily his in-ring skills. I guess it's kind of funny that a Hall of Famer that is so beloved. Somebody that they're calling one of the best wrestlers ever is really only known for his ability to take a beat. I just think that's a little strange.
Yeah, he's a glorified stuntman.
Yeah, because I mean Foley has done nothing but get his ass kicked for 20 years in the business, and you know they're calling him one of the best ever. And I'm just curious. I mean that's not something that usually happens in any other sport.
In any other sport, he would be considered maybe the Iron Man Award. Maybe that's it. That's something I could see him getting if he was in another sport.
Hey, and I'm looking at this now, and we were sort of talking a little bit off air about it, but we were talking about sort of the direction that Raw and SmackDown we're going to be going in for SummerSlam. Where do you see these two shows going? And will SmackDown, you think, continue? I mean, a lot of people will say that Raw is better. Some people say SmackDown's better. We have the general consensus that SmackDown has been better. Will SmackDown continue to be the top show? Or will Raw reestablish itself as a flagship again after SummerSlam and have some better storylines, better angles, and better matches?
I think it'll try, but I think what will make Raw better is that if Stephanie cut loose and became Stephanie again, this whole agreeing every minute with Mick Foley is not helping the situation.
No, I definitely don't think so. It's not the heel, evil, bitchy Stephanie we're used to.
Yeah. Or what's best for business, Stephanie, or something like that.
Are we going to teach your voice back?
I don't know. This is the longest we've gone without seeing Triple H. Like, pure NXT. And also, what I got going on soon, we're going to have a cruiserweight division going on soon, too.
Now, are they going to be on both shows, or are they
going to be on Raw? No, it's just going to be on Raw.
Huh. Do you like that move?
I like it, because again, the 3 hours, they got more content to fill, so I get it.
Now, who's in this crew? Who anybody I would have heard of?
Pretty much all, I think, I know Brian Kendrick is there. I don't know if you remember him from the old brand split. There's a couple of older former WWE stars, and most of the guys are out of the 32, I would say 28 of them are brand new guys. Which helps.
Now, whatever happened to NXT, a guy like Dan Matha, is he still down there?
Still going on, yep.
Okay. I don't know, this cruiserweight belt, do you think that gives Raw the advantage? I mean, SmackDown, to me, the roster, Raw seems to be full of, like, big, burly guys like Reigns and Rusev, whereas SmackDown seems to have more of the agile, nimble, high-flyer, you know, NXT type of guys. I think a better fit for the cruiserweight would be SmackDown, just based on the talent to be around
them. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's why I think there's still going to be roster moves to be made, you know. Maybe more NXT guys to come up, because they have enough people there. I can see, like, Aries and, like, a Samoa Joe getting the bump up to Raw. I mean, SmackDown right now, because you got other guys coming in. Like, Bobby Roode, he's making his debut at NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. So, you know, he could move up in the NXT ranks and have someone else come over to SmackDown.
I could see it. Now, tickets obviously have been on sale. This event is, I'm assuming, sold out. Standing room only.
Yep. Everything's sold out. So they're saying, but you know, in 2016, nothing's really ever officially sold out.
No, I mean, you know, with StubHub and all those, and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
There'll probably be good old New York style. There'll be scalpers in the parking lot and things like that. But the whole thing with this event. SummerSlam is going to be a big one. It's always been one of the. I don't know if WWE can have another disappointing pay per view. I mean, a lot of people have been disappointed. I mean, obviously they were disappointed with Fastlane. WrestleMania was a disappointment.
Night of Champions. I mean, there was a stretch of 5 or 6 pay-per-views that were just meh. And then obviously, I think Battleground was one of the better ones. I think, personally, from an entertainment standpoint, I thought Battleground was better than WrestleMania. And that's not...
It was.
And that's not good for business. So I'm hoping that they really come out and really put on a kick-ass show for SummerSlam, because if they have another one of their big pay-per-views get outshined by one of their smaller brand new, only been around for 2 years pay-per-views, that can't be good for them either.
And I don't know if you heard, but it's already been official. Goldberg is going to be in the area. He could be popping up at SummerSlam.
Bill Goldberg, huh? Mm-hmm. He's old.
And speaking of popping up, I forgot to mention Ring of Honor, other wrestling organizations. They're going to be in town this weekend, and they're going to have an event in Coney Island at the minor league, at the Cyclone Stadium. They're going to have an event that Saturday night. At the same time, NXT is going on. So I could see some, WWE heads heading over there to try to, recruit some talent. So there's a lot of wrestling going on in the city this weekend.
I think it's going to be good, especially for somebody who lives in Brooklyn. It's going to be an exciting time, exciting weekend for sure. If you get a chance to get down there, check it out. I highly recommend it. It should be fun. I'm definitely going to go next year. Hopefully I can bring her with me next year if we're still...
Next year's the 30th anniversary of SummerSlam, so it should be
big
next year. This also goes back to what we think about Survivor Series. This year is the 30th anniversary of Survivor Series, so maybe this whole Raw versus SmackDown should be the theme for Survivor Series.
I can see it.
I'm surprised this match is still going on.
I'm not. They took another 11-on-2, another 5 or so minutes of programming time.
Considering, but this match started at 10:40, so this is really surprising. But
they were establishing, a solid story. I mean, the fact that these two are so evenly matched, now you're wondering, who's going to win this, and who's going to win this at SummerSlam? These two are so close in style and so close in size and that.
They're finally booking Roman Reigns properly.
I don't know, man. These two are just so even right now. Obviously, Roman is more world champion. Arguably one of the top 3 guys in the business right now. Rusev is a champion currently. So, does it look bad to have one of your former champion top guys lose? Or does it look bad to have one of your champions lose? I don't exactly know. I mean, the only way that we make both guys look okay is if this ends in a disqualification, but neither one has beef with any outside that would interfere. I mean, there's going to be a winner one way or another. I'm just curious as to exactly who that's going to be. Maybe Rusev can't beat Roman and gets a chair or something. I don't know. But, here we go. Okay, so he's setting up. There's the boot to the face. We've seen Roman kick out of a lot more than that. We've seen him kick out of pedigrees for that.
I'm a little bit more intrigued for their match at SummerSlam, because it looks like, like you said, they're both pretty much equal, and they both can go. And in the midst of everything going on with everything else going on with wrestling this weekend, Conor McGregor's fighting. How fitting would it be if he took another L on the eve of SummerSlam? I'm pretty sure the wrestlers would roast them on Twitter.
I can see it. CM Punk commented. CM Punk commented and said that the WWE locker room got worked by Conor McGregor, and then called the whole Twitter fight nonsense.
No, what did he say? What he said?
CM Punk was saying that, that these guys need to get a reality check and that they got worked by Conor McGregor, and that this whole Twitter beef was nonsense, and got a little vibe. It was just Punk taking more shots at the WWE, you know? So, now, this wouldn't look good for Roman Reigns tapping here. Maybe he'll pass out, perhaps, instead of tap?
Probably pass out.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen, oh, maybe he's going to get the rope. I've never seen Roman tap out. He's just been, his character doesn't strike me as a type that would tap. Yep, he's going to get the rope. He's right there. Close your hand and you got him. There it is. So he's sick and he's still going on. Interesting, for sure. But yeah, so now McGregor and Diaz are fighting,
Saturday night.
Not this weekend, but the next one, right? Oh, no, this coming Saturday?
No, this weekend. This Saturday.
So who are we taking in that?
I think Diaz is going to win.
Again?
Only because I don't think Conor is fighting at his natural weight. And
again, huh? He's
Diaz
going,
can
he's
go.
Going up a class again. Oh, wow. Because I remember a lot of people were saying that one of the reasons he lost was that he wasn't at his normal weight and that he had to do too many adjustments. And Diaz was too comfortable, whereas McGregor had to make too many adjustments. So, the fact that he's willing to do it again, I don't know. Oh, what a... Holy shit, what a spear. Wow. I mean, that... I know a lot of people are saying wrestling is, you know, scripted and fake. There's no way you can fake that.
Yeah.
Wow. What a spear. And, you know, the guys like Edge, like my man crush Monday, guys like Edge who have had their careers... Also, because their finisher is the spear, it makes me cringe a little bit every time I see a spear because, you know, you're a half inch off and that's stacked vertical.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, Roman right here, you see him. He gets him with the shoulder, not with the neck, but man.
There's no way Rusev's losing that SummerSlam. No way. He's not losing the belt. He can probably lose the match, and I'm the belt.
Maybe, yeah. Well, how can you lose the match, but not the belt?
Maybe Lana interferes or something. Maybe she gets her own revenge.
Do you think that they're going to try to... I know that they're a real-life couple. Do you think they possibly split them up? Maybe have Lana turn on Rusev or something?
Possibly.
I love that stuff. I love chaos, man. I love, you know, shady back and forth stuff and screw jobs and all sorts of stuff. That stuff just sticks with my fancy. I don't know why.
You ever felt like if TMZ didn't leak that story, they would never put these two back together?
No, they would not have. And you know what I'm shocked about is that maybe they don't like the fact that these two are together and that they have to do something with it because, you know, we've seen here, you know, we've seen this, you know, this happen now with these two being that TMZ also leaked Alberto Del Rio and Paige, and they got drafted to different shows.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
and I don't know if you noticed it, but Paige has a new tattoo and it says Poppy under her shoulder.
I did not see that.
Yeah. Well, they're not happy about that. They're not happy about that.
Huh. I did not see that. Well, you know, makeup crews and stuff, you know, can always cover that. Or they can make her wear some sort of like a sports bra type of thing next that can cover that if they really had an issue with it. But I mean, yeah, wow. So, yeah, and they got drafted to different shows. So, you know, I'm just surprised. Maybe WWE's saying, hey, you know what? We only need one real life couple being together in the ring. You know, we don't want two of them now. Because, you know, obviously, if that happens, if they're on the same show, then they're going to be like, well, can we work together? You know, can we do whatever? And those two, I just don't see how those two, with their personas in the ring, would ever really be fashion. Now, I don't see them in real life hooking up, but hey, I've seen crazier things. So that's Raw. Raw ended with Roman Reigns getting the pinfall victory, non-title match over Rusev.
Still a good match.
It was a very good match. Our SummerSlam predictions, I think we've laid out, but I think it's still fuzzy as to who we think is going to take the Universal title home. Is it going to be, you know, the new title on the new era with the new guys, Finn Balor, Demon King, or is it going to be the new title in the new era with the old champion Seth Rollins establishing himself as the top guy?
And you know what? We haven't even expressed, like, what do we think this title is going to look like.
No, nobody's even said anything about it yet. I think
if I was designing the belt, I would have it all gold. It'll look just like the SmackDown title, but it's all gold. That's how I would do it.
I like it. I like it, but I don't know. I think that they're gonna go somewhere funky with it. I just have a feeling they're gonna go, you know, very like new age with it, I think. Which is fine. New era, new age, whatever. But I Universal title sound nearly as a feel to be a top title as WWE champion or even world heavyweight champion sounds like. It's Universal title sounds like that, you know, something that an underground wrestling promotion would have or something like a TNA would have. But even TNA had the TNA world champion. So, you know, I think it's a new step forward for WWE. It's a new experiment for them. But I wish it was a different name, but of course it's not, and I have no control over it, so that's what we're stuck with. But I really, really wanted, before this whole draft to happen, whoever was the champion, whether it was Dean or Seth or whoever, to have the champion be able to fight both shows. And then that way, both rosters could then compete. If the current champion, like let's say Dean was the champion, he could fight on Raw, he could fight on SmackDown. If he lost to a Raw superstar, he stays on SmackDown. He goes back to SmackDown where he was drafted to, stays there, Raw champion, then goes back to a full show, blah, blah, blah. So, I really wanted to see that. Obviously, that's not what they wanted to do, as you can tell, because now they're going in this direction. I don't know. I think that SmackDown, for a lot of people, is a better show because it's younger and it's more new age. But I don't know.
Well, who knows what they're gonna do with the whole title picture? But I think having two tag team titles, two mid card titles, two women's titles, it just dilutes the product.
That's why it's funny.
Yeah. Well, having multiple of the other smaller titles on both shows, yes, it does. But I think the world title, the top guy, I think being able to fight on both shows actually makes it better. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
So, looking at this here, is our general consensus New Day drops the belt?
Yeah, it's time. It's time.
And they held them for what? A long time, over a year, right?
They held them for a year. They won it at last SummerSlam.
But they won them at SummerSlam. They dropped them at SummerSlam. Deny them the full year. That might be...
It's time. If they don't drop it now, they'll drop it at the Raw pay-per-view. I say drop it now. Especially if Big E can't go. There's no Big E. There's no way they're winning.
That's just booty, yo. Now, have you gotten yourself some booty-os?
Nope, but I will have some this week.
We will have some. Okay. Now, the key,
by Saturday, I should let you know how it tastes.
Okay, yeah. Are they like a Cheerios type of thing, or what exactly?
I have no idea, but I'll know this weekend.
Okay.
I'll make a video on that and have to, you know, tell Joe this is something, you know, you should try to eat.
Well, only this disgusting. I don't want Jerry to get any pleasure of getting any for those of you who may not have heard the Saturday Sunday broadcast with Joey's weird stuff, obviously the first time was the peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich, which really wasn't that bad. Jeremy hates mayonnaise, so he was disgusted by it. Then for whatever reason, I still to this day cannot tell you what reason it is, but we made him eat Greek yogurt and ketchup, and for whatever reason, Jason decided he was going to try it as well.
And it was that awful.
Was it bad? The Greek yogurt with ketchup was that bad?
It was that bad.
Now, at least you chose regular yogurt. I mean, I let Joe choose whatever kind of yogurt he wanted, and the dude chose key lime yogurt with ketchup. I don't like key lime yogurt by itself, much less with ketchup on it. So, you know, he sort of tortured himself in that regard. So looking forward here, I think we see a couple of heel turns, we see some titles dropping, we see some belts changing hands. Does this SummerSlam event, does this sort of, I don't want to say save the WWE, obviously the merchandise sales are still through the roof, their ticket sales are still huge. I know their TV ratings aren't necessarily what they'd want them to be, but their live stuff usually is. Is this something I don't want to use the word save, but I will. Is this a pay-per-view you feel that sort of saves the WWE? It sort of sets them up for some amazing storylines, some amazing things coming up down the road here? Or is this going to end up, even though the matches might be great, the creative writing aspect of it ends up being a dud?
I think it's going to save them. I think it's going to save them. I think it's going to do big things. And I think having someone like Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley around to, you know, probably whisper in creative ears or whisper in the McMahon's ears, is going to be best for business all around the board.
Yeah, I can see it. Are you with Icon?
Somebody had to say, hey, you know, give Ziggler the title match. That's something I don't think they came up with that idea by themselves.
Are you with Icon in the sense that you think Mick Foley would be gone by maybe mid-fall or early winter?
I think he rides out the year. I think he rides out to December, and then maybe something happens, and maybe Triple H comes back.
Teach me how to fly. Perhaps. I think Raw could take sort of a darker turn. And I think Raw can go back to, you know, because I liked the Authority. I liked the whole best of business, the whole, you know, whatever. As much as Stephanie was kind of, you know, bitchy, I think that it was a good thing that, you know, the faces having to battle the Authority being the main heel. I really liked that, and I think the way I would play it, if they were planning on having Mick Foley only be temporary, the way I would play it is Mick Foley fighting with one of the wrestlers that Stephanie doesn't like. So, for instance, either doing a backdoor deal with Daniel Bryan, who we know she has beef with, or one of the wrestlers calling her out or something like that, and then her not liking him, or even Roman Reigns, who she hates. I could have Mick Foley siding with Roman Reigns on something, and Stephanie saying, listen, it's me or him, and obviously, you know, Stephanie does something where she's in the wrong, but she's the authority figure, and she says, me or him, he chooses Roman Reigns loses the match, and Mick Foley's gone, that kind of a thing. Or I could see her, you know, kayfabe firing him, or I could see something where Mick Foley gets a good pop out of the crowd because he sides against her, rises up against her. She has no, you know, authority anymore because Mick Foley is what everybody wants, blah, 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 blah. She has to bring Triple H back in. You sort of renew that Triple H Mick Foley rivalry from back in the day a little bit, and you get those two going at it. In the long run, Triple H wins the match, or the person that they choose wins the match, and Nicole is gone, Triple H steps in, blah, 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 blah. That might be, and then Daniel Bryan steps in and says, like, you know, that he is, you know, doesn't like Stephanie's practices, and that, you know, because of her ego, that's why SmackDown can't be the better show, and that, you know, blah, 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 the whole thing is basically challenge her ego, challenge Triple H's manhood. That's what sets up the Raw versus SmackDown for the Premier Grand thing at Survivor Series. I mean, it's just that there are several interesting ways you can go with it, none of which they will probably do, but there are several interesting ways you can go with it. I also want to see Demon Kane. I didn't like Corbin Kane. I like Demon Kane, and I want to see Kane make maybe one more big run before he hangs up the match.
I can see him doing that on SmackDown.
I can see him running roughshod through that until he hits Dean Ambrose.
I can see that.
Now, the last match we really didn't discuss, because it's a match that I don't really care about, and I don't think a lot of people care about. I just had to take a drink of something there. Because it's two wrestlers that I'm just don't really care about. And that's Cesaro and Sheamus. I don't understand the storyline, the rivalry. I think it's rushed, it's premature. They haven't done enough bad stuff to each other yet. And
I never knew Swiss and Irishmen hate each other this much. Never knew that.
They don't in real life. But I think it's more one of those things where these two are super competitive. They both want to be the alpha on Raw. You know, that whole thing. I don't know what the big deal is between those two. I just the matches are, to me, are boring. The storyline. See, I can watch a poorly executed match as long as it's got a good story behind it. But with these
right.
two, they're just, you know, going through matches where they both kick out of each other's finishers left and right. And, yeah, they're competitive, but there's not really a story that intrigues me. So I don't know what a win by either one of those guys will do to boost their career. Because, I mean, Cesaro, yeah, pound for pound, the strongest guy in the – I've heard that. You know, the Swiss Superman, I've heard that, but he's not a champion. He's not the face of the company. He's not, you know, the equivalent of a modern-day Rock or Stone Cold. I don't see this being a staple win for Sheamus. And with Sheamus being a former champion but kind of fizzling out and being it's a pointless rivalry and storyline. But obviously they have to fill the card. They have to have, you know, they have to have all matches besides just the title matches. But I don't know what a win does. Like, you know, if someone says, oh, you know, Cesaro won that match, he beat Sheamus, or vice versa, Sheamus beat Cesaro. Okay, so what next? You know?
And I feel like saying the best of seven, you already know it's going seven.
True. So yeah, it's I don't know. To me, there's a couple of matches on SmackDown that I'm probably gonna, you know, go get a beer and possibly run to the gas station and get a few items because I am gonna be watching it. I'm gonna be watching a majority of it. I'm actually gonna be listening to a majority of it on my phone. I have it synced up so that the phone goes through my Bluetooth. I'm going to be listening to it through my radio in the car on the drive to, you know, good old North Carolina. So I will probably get to her house right probably a match or two before the main event. So, you know, a lot of the bad matches that I don't care about will be done when I'm on I-95. So that's fine. You know, but,
it's starting early, too. It's starting at 7 o'clock, so we got plenty of time.
Oh, plenty. Yeah, exactly. So I might even go look at that even, because if I look at, you know, 7 in the morning, get there at 5 at night kind of thing, you know, it's a 10-hour drive, but it sucks. But, you know, it is what it is. So yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be watching it, listening to it. You know, SummerSlam has always been my favorite pay-per-view because I think three or four times in 15 years it's been on my birthday. So it's always sort of been a birthday thing for me. And Jeff became the youngest WWE champion in history when he won the belt SummerSlam in 03. No, 02, I believe. Well,
on this day, August 15th.
Yep, and so I remember that, and that was entertaining to me. So I loved that. And then Randy Orton a couple of years later, it wasn't at SummerSlam, but Randy Orton a couple of years later surpassed that mark, and then becoming the youngest champion. And this year, I think Finn Balor can beat both of them if he wins. They become a lot of great storylines. A lot of great storylines, a lot of great stuff coming down the pipeline here. SummerSlam. I'll have the show the next night, and it'll be a slam cap heavy show brought to you by Cage Combat and Logo Warehouse, and it will be a very, very interesting debate, especially with getting the Icons take on what happens on Sunday night. So, again, check in with us, check in with our wrestling page, check in with our tweets. We're all over the place. Sports Roundup is tomorrow. We got all the Jays. Joe and Jeremy back. Possibly Jason, if he's able to pull out of work briefly, talk a little bit about us. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that tomorrow. Sports Roundup. You should check that from 11 to 1 Eastern here on the news. My computer has been active. So let's see if this actually does what I want it to do. And it looks like it was a little awake. Maybe not. Maybe yes. Maybe no. Yeah. Oh, there it is. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Jay Man walking.
You've done it now.
You've gone and made a big mistake.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around
and face the piper you're gonna pay.
Cause the end is now.
This is gonna be a judgment day.
A cheap shot.
That's the way that you play the game.
I was blindsided.
But things will never ever be the same.
Nice guys.
If that they always finish last.
But bad asses
are always kicking assholes out.
You're gonna pay.
Excited about it.